Welcome into another Daily Wager Extra podcast. It is Super Bowl time. I'm Doug Kazarian, taping this on a Thursday, February 10th. And lots to get through with Mr. Executive Director John Murray. We're going to talk about what sharp props he's taken from behind the counter. We're going to talk about the line move in both the side and the total. And my favorite player props as well. Very excited to get into everything and go from there. We have a bonanza twist. We have a Hail Mary play in the bonanza. So without further ado, let's get right to it.
Kicking is for losers.
Kicking is for losers. You cannot bet on the prop on that, but you can bet on many kicks. And we're going to discuss that as we welcome in Mr. Executive Director on this, holiday week, if you will.
It's a big week. There's no doubt that Sunday is our biggest single day of the year in the sports books. And it's exciting this year. We're getting back to normalcy. You know, last year we had occupancy restrictions in the room. We could only have 50% capacity. This year we'll have 100% capacity. And the city of Las Vegas is waiting with bated breath to see if our governor is going to lift the mask mandate today. That's the rumor. And I think that'd be great for tourism this weekend as well. So we're really hoping to have a normal Super Bowl this weekend. And if we do, I think the business is going to be through the roof.
All right. So that announcement may come even after taping, but before posting. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's break it down. We'll get into our favorite. We'll get into the bonanza later, and we'll have a little bit of a tweak to it because the decision's been made in terms of the ultimate victory, and that's you.
ultimate victory is that's a big phrase. I don't think it's quite that serious.
Let's talk side because we've seen some movement here, and I want to know what you guys have taken and where you sit and where you think this will end up between now and kickoff.
Well, we opened it at 3.5. Most of the guys in our room thought that was the right number, 3.5. We went to 4 pretty quickly. And we've been settled at 4.5 now for over a week. We're talking on Thursday morning, as we always do. But here's the thing that's really surprised me the most. We've taken about 65% of our point spread bets on the Bengals. And that is very unusual. Now, we all know the public likes to bet the dog money line in the Super Bowl. There's nothing strange about that. So if you see those splits and the public is all over the dog money line, don't pay much attention to that. That is how they always bet the Super Bowl. That's a nothing. But to see 65% of the point spread bets on the Bengals is highly unusual. And it does kind of make me think maybe the Rams are the way to go on Sunday.
Why do you think the public's backing the Bengals on the points?
I think it's a lot to do with Joe Burrow. I hear this a lot. I hear a lot of people, they want to root for Joe Burrow. They want to root for the Bengals. I don't know that the Rams are as likable a team. The Rams are kind of a collection of all-stars from other teams. I mean, I'm not saying that as a knock. It's just kind of how it is. And the Bengals they're an underdog franchise. You know, they had that long stretch where they didn't win a playoff game. They haven't been to the Super Bowl in over 30 years. I think that's what it is. And there's certainly a narrative that Joe Burrow is going to take the mantle as the face of the league. I think there's some other quarterbacks in the AFC that would have a lot to say about that. Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, to name two of them, but Burrow does look to be maybe next in line as a superstar quarterback in the league.
Yeah, no, I said, are we going to be wondering how the hell this guy was getting more than a field goal on neutral site?
Yeah.
Because he's checked every box. And I just think he's been so outstanding. I'm just surprised. The reason I ask, because they were down 21-3, right? And they got, I don't want to say a fluke win, but it's not like they looked that sharp. Now, the Rams didn't look sharp either. They were down 10 in the fourth quarter, but I am a little surprised. But the Rams aren't the Lakers. You know, I know they're an L.A. team, but it's not really an L.A. team. So,
well, the Raiders are L.A.'s team. Isn't that correct? I mean, there's no question.
That's what it was for me growing up.
There's no question that the Raiders are the most popular team in Los Angeles. I don't know that anybody would argue that. And when people are asking me if I expect to get a ton of volume because of the proximity of L.A. to Las Vegas, I don't feel that way.
No.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think the people in LA really care about the Rams. I think we're going to get a ton of volume because it's the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl is like the one event of the year where it really doesn't even matter who's playing. There's going to be a ton of betting interest in this game no matter what, but I don't think it's because of the Los Angeles effect.
Right. Okay. So where do you think it closes?
I think four. You know, I see some very prominent offshore books right now that have a variation of four. Usually it looks like they've got the Rams juiced on that four. But I think if you made me pick a number right now, I would say I think it'll close Rams 4. I don't think there's a huge difference between 4 and 4.5. But I think that's probably what we're going to do, what we're going to see here, unless some very prominent groups come in one way or another. And there is a long way to go. You know, the vast majority of the money that we write in this game has yet to be bet.
Really? So what percentage of the handle do you think you've already received?
I don't even think it's 20%. I mean, I think it's probably a lot less than that, maybe closer to maybe not even 10%. I mean, I can tell you that at some point we are going to tighten our splits here and go to minus 105 on both sides. We're waiting for the appropriate time to do that. And we're going to do that in all four states that the Superbook operates in. And then you're going to see just a flood of bets come in. The big whales that come to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl, they're mostly not here yet. One of our big customers did arrive yesterday, and I was just talking to him before I did the show. But most of the big whales are going to be coming in this weekend and placing their bets Saturday night, Sunday morning. So 10% at most has been written so far.
Okay. That's surprising to me, but I guess it makes sense just given the weekend has yet to arrive. Mm-hmm. What about the total? I know you took early money on the under, and we're at 48.5. We haven't really moved.
Yeah, we're at 48.5 right now. Some sharp guys on the under, like you said. So now the public will most likely come in on the over, right? They do. They always do. It's the Super Bowl. The people that are out here right now are not here to root for nothing to happen. And most of our bigger bets are on the over. We've taken some significant parlays to the over. I believe one guy yesterday, if I remember correctly, did a $60,000 parlay, Bengals +4.5 to over 48.5. So the books will most likely be rooting for the under, and we'll certainly be rooting for the under in the sense that over half of our handle is on props. And generally we're rooting for low scoring games, better for props. So we'll be rooting for the under, but it will be more to do with the props than it is to do with the actual total market itself.
Okay, so, gosh, that's so fascinating. That is a good, nice reminder to alert everyone, just a fun fact, that more than 50% of the money bet on the Super Bowl will be on props, not the side or total.
Well, that's how it is at our shop. I mean, everybody's different. I saw the guy.
That's the way it's been for a while. That was about 8 years ago, I think, that shifted to over 50%.
But I've seen, there are some books that advertise these enormous bets. Like we all saw the Mattress Mac bet where he bet $4.5 million on the money line at another book. So books that take bets like that, they may not get 50% of their handle on props because they take such enormous bets on the side because the volume that they have allows them to do so. I can't speak for what everyone else is doing, but I know for sure here we'll be somewhere between 55 and 60% of our business will be on the prop markets. We have a lot of props too. The Superbook is known for a deep menu of props. I think I would argue that we pioneered that in Nevada.
Yeah, you guys really are the pioneers on that. I will give you props on that.
You know, that's Ed Sammons that deserves the lion's share of the credit. And I think the story goes that the games in the mid-90s were so bad because the NFC team was always winning by like 100 points that no one was paying attention in the fourth quarter, second half.
Right.
So they wanted to deepen the prop menu. And from there, I mean, I'm not saying that was the first time people offered a lot of props, but I believe it was the origin of these huge menus of player props.
It is fascinating. I mean, it all started with the refrigerator Perry and the Bears-Patriots Super Bowl mid-80s, 85 season. And, go read about it. Those who haven't heard it, it's really fascinating. Really cool. And obviously here we are about just south of 30 states with legalized sports betting. It's awesome. It's awesome where we are. So let's get into it. Okay, the props now. Speaking of props, which props that you can you're confident it is not – just scalpers, have you taken sharp money on?
Definitely some guys were going against Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson receptions. I saw a number of sharp guys go under that prop, under 2.5. One thing I've noticed, some sharp players, not just playing middles, not just scalping, they were betting Joe Burrow over incompletions. And that one caught my eye a little bit. I found that one to be interesting because I think what they're thinking there is what? The Bengals will be behind and Burrow will have to throw. We all know probably the biggest deciding factor in this game is how will the Bengals offensive line stand up against the Rams defensive line? How good will Joe Burrow be at getting the football out? If he has one weakness, it's he hangs on to the football for too long. And I thought that one was interesting. I like that one myself, alerted to it by some sharp players, but I think it makes a lot of sense that Burrow would go over incompletions, over passing attempts. If the team is behind, he almost certainly will.
Yeah, that is interesting. I like that a lot now that you mention it, because I've been going back and forth with yards and things like that. Incompletions is a good one.
I think so. I think that that's one to keep an eye on. So the interesting, probably the player that we were most curious to see how he got bet was Cam Akers, the Rams running back. He's, you know, he's their number one back, but he had those two fumbles in the Tampa Bay game a few weeks ago. So there's some question as to whether or not the team will have a quick leash with Cam Akers. Will they, if he fumbles the ball? I think that he will. And we've seen some players bet under Akers rushing attempts and over Sony Michel rushing attempts. That's one we've been hit on a lot. Over 5.5 rushing attempts for Sony Michel. And they also hit us a couple times on Michel to score a touchdown. So I think the thinking there is some of the carries shift over to Michel from Akers. I thought that was interesting as well.
That's extremely interesting. Extremely.
Yeah, so that one for sure. You know what one the public likes? I know that's not what you asked me, but I just think it's funny. Sure. They love this, will the game be decided by exactly 3 points, which is 4-1. They're hitting us like crazy on that one. Because, like, look at the both conference championship games were decided by 3 points exactly. The Bengals game against the Titans was decided by 3.
Yeah.
The Niners beat the Packers by 3. The only game in the last 5 or 6 games that wasn't decided by 3 was a game that went to overtime. Kansas City scored a touchdown in overtime, or that game would have also been decided by 3 points. So that one's getting a ton of public play. Hopefully it's not a 3-point game.
Since the extra point distance was moved back in 2015, 14.3% of games have been decided by exactly 3 points.
Here's another one too. Joe Mixon over receptions, over 3.5. We've been hit on this one a bunch of times by some wise guys thinking maybe they'll get Mixon into the mix, out of the backfield. But that, again, kind of points to Burrow throwing the ball a lot. So look at Burrow passing attempts. Look at incompletions. If you do think the Rams pass rush is going to get to him, I think it probably will. I would expect the Rams pass rush to have some success, maybe not to the level that the Titans did in the divisional playoff game, but I would imagine the Rams will have more success than Kansas City did in the conference championship game.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So it's funny. I have Burrow's first completion plus 350 to Mixon. Just nice. Because I think they're going to try to offset the pass rush and the offensive line. I mean, we all know about the 9 sacks against the Titans, but it's worth mentioning that win rate for the offensive line was dead last in the NFL during the regular season. So it just wasn't that one game. It was the entire season they were not good. So I was just thinking that. We talked about it. I like the over receptions. Question for you, and we did a countdown on Daily Wager yesterday, the top 10 most the props that have gotten the most handle.
Yeah.
And 5 and 4, in terms of ticket count, were heads and tails. And where do you guys get ranked?
I don't know. I don't have like a top 5 in front of me, but that doesn't surprise me. I can tell you that much.
That's crazy to me.
We always take a ton of bets on that. Very recreational players. They love that one, and they bet it every year. And I can tell you every year, the first roar of the crowd that you hear is for the coin toss. They love that prop. The public loves that prop. I don't know where it ranks exactly. I'd have to pour through everything a little more closely, but I'm sure it's up near the top.
I don't understand it. Look, if there was the only thing you could bet and you can bet no other props, then I would understand the action. But to have 2,000 props where you can actually implement handicapping angle, I just don't understand that. I get it.
It's for the recreational player. I mean, it's just people. I mean, I just pulled it up here in my system, and here are the bets. $10, $5, $10, $10, $10, $30, $20, $10, $20. I mean, it's not something people are betting $10,000 on. You know, it's like
that. But why not just bet? I don't know.
But what you get, here's something you get a lot of this week. You get people that come up to the betting windows with their prop packet, and they bet $5, $10, $20, $50 on 75, 80, 100 props. Happens all the time. And every person like that is throwing the coin toss bet into their portfolio, so to speak. So I think that we'll definitely continue to see a lot of money on that one as we get closer to kickoff.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? If you're randomly gambling on stuff on this game, at least the coin toss of the Superbook, we're minus 102 both ways. I mean, if you're just throwing darts, you might as well throw a dart at minus 102.
Yep. Some books have...
I've seen minus 101 out there.
Plus 100. I've seen plus 100.
Yeah, I've seen it. Oh, plus 100. Oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, wow. Hey, might as well, right?
Yeah, no, but again, like, okay, fine. I just would rather think where I have an edge. So speaking of which, those are the sharp plays. Do you have any props you like? Because I have some I want to rip through.
Well, I do like the I do like that incompletions. I bet Burrow over incompletions. I forget where I bet that. Somewhere here in Nevada, over I think 10.5 or 11.5 incompletions by Burrow. And I saw some sharp guys betting other pro Joe Mixon stuff. So I bet some other. I made a few other bets on Joe Mixon myself. And I always like to bet under 1.5 for the shortest touchdown. That's always my that's always in my bag. I always like to have that one. All you need is one pass interference call in the end zone or holding call in the end zone. That's all you need. You're going to win that one every time. You don't like it. I can feel you're exasperated.
So it's funny. So let's get into my favorite props. I have like 7 I want to rip through.
Okay.
One of them is I think the longest field goal will be longer than the longest touchdown.
Really?
Okay. That's minus 130. So basically, I have to fade a bomb or a special teams or a long pick six.
Okay. I could see that.
These guys are going to kick field goals. They're not afraid to send McPherson out. Taylor loves doing it. 50. I think we're going to have like a 47 or longer field goal.
I don't want to see McPherson out there too much. I can tell you one of the biggest liabilities we have is McPherson to be the MVP. I'm not too worried about not really worried about that, but we've taken some significant bet. We had a guy at the Superbook in Colorado bet $1,000 on McPherson to be the MVP at 80-1 to win 80 grand.
Well, there was 150-1 elsewhere. He could have
We opened at 200-1. And we've taken so many bets on him where we've been knocked down to 80. I wouldn't say we're too concerned about that, but it has been interesting. I can't recall that in my career where we've been just consistently getting hammered with bets on a kicker to be the MVP. I don't recall that happening before.
And those wondering, a kicker has never won the MVP of the Super Bowl. And those also wondering, an MVP has only been on the losing team once. And that was like Super Bowl V, I want to say.
Yeah, Super Bowl V. Chuck Howley, I believe.
Okay, so I like the longest. So here's the other one. Touchback on the opening kickoff. You get plus money. There's new K-balls out there. So the balls are not the same. And typically, it's tough to get the distance, although it will be a hot day. It could be the hottest Super Bowl ever, and it's going to be in the mid-80s.
Is that right? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's an open stadium. Even though there's a roof, it's an open stadium on the sides. Mm-hmm. But still, the touchback plus money, because you get a guy with a little bit of an extra juice in taking it 3 yards deep and returning it. It's really about the new ball. The new balls haven't been worn in yet. So
I could see that. That one's good. That's a good angle. You're really in the weeds here. I respect that.
I start in the weeds. So let's go to players now.
Okay.
We talk about the coin toss bet. It's who wants to bet an under in Steph Curry points, right? Is that fun at all to watch a fight like that? It's like an over in the heavyweight UFC. That's just not fun to bet, like over 2.5 in a heavyweight bout. You're not going to want to bet Cup under. It's just torture. So I think over's the play anyway. But it's just not that fun to bet under anyway. So his receiving yards props at like 104.5, okay? Mm-hmm.
We have 105 and a half at the Superbook, so I'm sure there's a 104 and a half out there somewhere.
Right. So even 105 and a half. So okay. 17 regular season games, right? In 16 of those, he had at least 92 yards. So you're going to get in the vicinity on like a low end, right? The other one was a blowout loss. And then the first playoff game, also Arizona, was a blowout win where they just weren't throwing and he had like 60 yards. Mm. The next two playoff games, he had way over 105 and a half. He's just always open. McVay knows how to scheme. He's brilliant. Kupp catches everything, although he did drop a potential touchdown on a skinny post in the...
Which was shocking, by the way.
Yeah, shocking, right? I mean, he could have had even more yards, right?
Yeah, that's true. And he was
an animal.
He kept moving the chains on third down. He was probably the most significant player in that NFC Championship game because it seemed like not only did he have a lot of catches, but it was always on third down to pick up first downs. Really, really significant plays.
And he's Stafford's security blanket. I think there's value there, and I also think it's more fun to bet the over than the under on Kupp. I think he's just solid, and I actually said this last week in the pod. I would bet him at MVP at 7-1 or better. But the public's coming in, but the public's also coming in on the Aaron Donald and Von Miller. So I think if you can get 7-1 on Kupp, I do think there's a lot of angles there where he gets maybe two touchdowns and 130 yards, or even one touchdown. He's a big enough name where he can get the MVP over Stafford, who's obviously going to throw those yards and touchdowns. Mm.
Yeah, and they are betting to your point. They are betting Kupp to win the MVP here, but not the way they're betting Aaron Donald, not the way they're betting Odell Beckham Jr., and apparently not the way they're betting Evan McPherson. I'll tell you who they're not betting is Matthew Stafford. We've got Stafford now at plus 130. We really don't have that many tickets on him at all. We do pretty well on that right now. Joe Burrow has certainly got his share of attention, although not as much as his teammate McPherson, who I think second most tickets on McPherson behind Von Miller. Von Miller, they're betting Von Miller because they remember him winning the MVP.
Yeah,
the first time we had Super Bowl MVP betting, Denver, Carolina, Von Miller.
Yeah, and he's the last defensive player to do it 6 years ago. It's crazy, but I get it. The payouts are there. The allure of a big ticket is there.
Sure.
Gosh knows, you know, Murray, this podcast a handful of years ago, I was twice on talked about the first half, no touchdown, Rams, Patriots. I went on SportsCenter. I went on radio. I went on this podcast twice, other podcast radio shows. And I had one guy tweet me like, you know, I thought you were being pretty annoying. You had to do it in both podcasts, but hey, you hit it. So it hit. It was 100-1. And then it closed like 18-1, I think. So that was a big one. Yeah. And
I remember that very well. Believe me, I remember sweating out in the fourth quarter if anybody would score a touchdown in that game. We were paying close attention to that. I'll just say that 200-1, no touchdown. That's what we had 3 years ago, and that's what we have this year.
Okay, so and then that prompted. That's part of the story of the draft prop a year ago. I said if I get another chance at 100-1, I'm going to hammer it, which I did. So look, I understand the big payouts. Last year I had Mahomes. No touchdown passes, 14-1, because I thought they could run a couple in, and I didn't think the Chiefs wouldn't find the end zone at all. That was 60-1, but I just thought Mahomes with the ankle running in, the offensive line could have issue. You know, there was value there. I understand. I just don't. I need more. I need like 30-1 or 40-1 on Miller or Donald or something like that. But
yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that you can really say that 40-1 on Von Miller is a good bet. I mean, he's a great player, but he's more of a situational pass rusher.
Yeah, I mean.
And this is not that Denver team. Think back to that game. Denver had a quarterback who could barely throw the ball. I know that sounds funny to say, but at that point in Peyton Manning's career, he could barely throw the ball. That team won with its defense, and that was the last game of Manning's career. I don't think this Rams team is not built the way that Broncos team was.
Agreed. So Burrow, I like over 273.5 passing yards because I think he's their meal ticket. But I like the incompletions better. I think that's a really sharp way, and I'm gonna hammer that. So
I love it. Then we'll be rooting for that one together because
my thought process is this. So, and I talked to a sharp better, and he says young quarterbacks never do well in the Super Bowl historically, blah blah blah. And I said that's all accurate. But like Big Ben in his debut in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady, they were such a different part of the offense. Nowadays, quarterbacks are more ready to make the transition from college to the NFL. Offensive coordinators are designing offenses that take the skills from that college quarterback into the NFL, and Burrow is their calling card. He's the focal point. Those teams are predicated on defense. Sure. So Burrow is 25, but he's not going to crumble in the platform and spotlight of the Super Bowl. So I think he's going to be just fine. He's going to throw it around. I do like your incompletions, but they're not going to run the ball down the Rams' throat, right? It's going to be Burrow, and it's going to be Burrow early and often.
I think they're probably going to be early and often going to Burrow, and I think they will probably be playing from behind at some point in this game, and they'll have to go to Burrow. I just – famous last words, I can't really picture them consistently running the ball in the Rams and softening up that defense with the ground game. I just don't see that happening. I don't think that's going to be their strategy. Been wrong before, but I do think Burrow is going to have to put the ball in the air to win this game.
Let me ask you this. Because I saw a prop, and it's juicy, but I think it's still cheap.
Mm-hmm.
What odds would you need to bet that both teams score at least two touchdowns?
I would expect that to happen.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen that one, but I don't anticipate this being a low scoring game, so I wouldn't need much to do that.
Yeah, I saw minus 250.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was laying minus 250 on the next score of the Pro Bowl being a touchdown on Sunday. So I guess my version of what a good value is at minus 250 is a little warped by that.
We agreed not to speak of this.
minus 250. I don't know that I would call that priced wrong. But I do expect that to win.
So Murray invited me to the suite at this Pro Bowl, and within like 5 minutes of the game, I'm unloading accounts on the live betting, the over, and just,
yeah.
I dropped a lot. Now, fortunately, the Nuggets pulled away in the second half on the Nets, so we were good, but yeah. I was trying to get the TV changed to the Nets game, and it was a zoo. Here I am trying to like wine and dine, catch up.
Yeah.
And I got like two phones out trying to change TVs, just dopamine.
It was
right there.
Supposed to be just a relaxing Sunday, but then all of a sudden it got a little out of control. I don't think that's as good a bet as next touchdown being minus 250 in the Pro Bowl or next score being a touchdown minus 250. But I think that'll win. I don't know that I'd lay 250 though. There's so many things. There's so many options on the betting board. So really think about where you're positioning your bankroll this weekend, guys, because you've got a lot to choose from.
I understand that. That's fair. Okay. So thinking outside the box, I like Stafford rushing over 2.5 attempts, over 5.5 rushing yards. And I'll explain it. The stakes go higher in the postseason. So it's almost like you throw out regular season statistics because Stafford has gone over 5.5 rushing yards in all three playoff games. When the stakes are this high, I made the analogy in the NBA, teams will have a guy play the four for a playoff series, but there's no way he can do it 82 game season, undersized four kind of thing. You're right. Willing to sacrifice your body. Stafford got a first down on third and long against the Niners. Didn't even slide, took the hit. That stuff's not going to happen in the regular season. He's going to tuck it and run. They're more inclined to get yards. And all these guys, like Josh Allen, Mahomes, it's just the stakes are higher, so you have an edge there. And then the kneel downs, you get the attempts, but also you got to go a little bit more than the yards because if Stafford's taking knees, that's going to go subtraction.
Mm. Well, that makes sense. We saw that in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Mahomes with those knees at the end of the win over the 49ers knocked his rushing yardage under. But I think your first point is really a smart point. These quarterbacks are going to lay it all on the line in this game. They're not going to worry as much. I don't think they're going to dive to the ground or run out of bounds or be as inclined to do that as they would be if this game was in week 4. They've got, especially if it's third down, they've got to go for it. There's no game after this one.
Okay. I have a couple juicy payouts. Okay. I have a 10-1. Who do you think is going to be the quarterback? Who do you think is going to have the most passing yards in the game?
I think Burrow will.
Okay. Who do you think is going to have the most receiving yards?
Well, you think it would be – it's correlated to, say, Jamar Chase, but it seems like the Bengals would spread it around a little bit more And so I guess I'd have to go with Cup just based on the numbers and from seeing some people bet under on Jamar Chase stuff here at the Superbook, some people that I respect. So I'll go Cup.
Yeah, there's speculation that they'll put Ramsey on Higgins and then double team Chase.
Well, the Rams play more of a zone defense, right? I mean, they don't Ramsey doesn't follow a receiver around the field, does he? I think he plays more of...
Yeah, no, but Burrow also cars up zone, I think, too.
Yeah. We'll see about that. That would make sense. Take Higgins out of the game.
And then you're not, you know,
take Chase out of the game. Pardon me. Take Chase out of the game.
And then Ramsey's like an island, right? You put him, right? You blanket. Okay. This is sort of a crapshoot because the rushing yards. Who do you think leads the team, leads the game, sorry, in rushing?
I would have to go with Mixon in that one because I see a lot of people betting Mixon. I mean, I know Akers statistically would be the favorite.
Yeah, but his yards per carry is terrible. So I'm with you. I'm with you on that. So I need to look up the Mixon, but they're calling these trifectas. You got to hit all three, right?
Yeah.
Akers, with Akers in there, is 10-1. So Burrow, Kupp, and Akers is 10-1.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the three that I would play. Those are tricky though. Those built-in pre-made parlays. Sure. But I know I can tell you the books want you to bet those things, but that doesn't mean that those never win because they definitely do.
Right.
And it makes perfect sense that statistically speaking, you would think it'd be those three guys, right?
And 10-1, it's not 6-1. Right.
Right. True.
Okay. So I have two exact scores. I'm going to throw for the people out there. Maybe Bonanza Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Rams 24-20, 90-1.
Wow. Okay. That'd be a nice hit. I mean, that's not totally inconceivable, too, with the point spread. We talked earlier on the show that I thought it would probably close 4, and that's not too far from the total. So you're kind of you're playing a number that is makes sense given the point spread in total for the game.
But 4, we talked about key numbers, is actually the 9th most common margin of victory since the extra point moved back in 2015 because teams are going for 2 so often. So it has to be a team that's like scores even early fourth quarter is going to go for 2 to make it 24-21 thing. So 20 is not that key of it in this situation, right? 4. So got me looking a little more. 24-19, and this is my Bonanza bailout. Okay, Murray?
Okay.
$250. 310-1.
Wow. 24-19 Rams. based off of a missed 2-point conversion.
That's what we're going with. Or missed extra point. Sure. McPherson can go hook and it or push wide.
And that's going to be your Bonanza play? Wow.
Yes. I mean,
are we really in that kind of a dire Well, if you win that, I think I got a feeling I'll have to pony up a couple bucks to buy Arthur a new chew toy. I don't think I'll be able to fight you back on that one.
Yeah, so that's my help. But honestly, the list of props I just did are my like regular props I'm doing.
Sure.
And those are. And I know, so you like the over in completions. What else would you do in the hypothetical Bonanza if we still had it?
I like Burrow to throw an interception. I've seen different prices on that. I think I got it all on my phone, man. But I think I bet -130 on Burrow to throw a pick, if I remember that correctly. I do like that one. And then it would be a little unfair, but like right now I see Caesars is running a promotion where they've got the Rams at -175 money line. I bet that this morning as I was getting ready for my day because I just think that's a good value at that money line. But that's a promotion that they're running for 24 hours. They tweeted out. So good on them. I think that's a good idea.
Because it's normally what, $2, $2.10?
We got -190 at the Superbook.
Okay.
I know that they took a pretty significant bet on Bengals money line. I'm not necessarily saying that they're trying to balance their books. I don't know what their thought process is over there, but they tweeted out that they were doing -175, and I said, shit, I'll take that. Or sure, I'll take that. Excuse me.
We could bleep that out.
Yeah,
it's good. Good to have a little bleep on the final extra Daily Wager extra podcast. Good. Any others? I mean, you mentioned some of the sharp plays earlier.
Outside of those, I mean, I've seen some guys play Mixon to score a touchdown. I mentioned the Sony Michel over rushing attempts as one that we've seen some sharp guys on. Van Jefferson under receptions. We've seen some guys on that as well. So those look to be the ones we've really seen a lot of focus. And Mixon over receptions too. And if you agree with this line of thinking that the Bengals are going to be throwing the ball, which has kind of been a theme of this show the whole way, maybe take a look at Joe Burrow passing attempts. If we're right and the Bengals are going to be throwing a lot, Burrow pass attempts could be another good play for this game.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, my friend. Good stuff as always. Best of luck in the Super Bowl. Sort of. I really want the public to win though. And you know,
I don't know. We could use it, man. We've had a rough week in your league, the NBA. Oh my goodness. Oh my, the
favorites.
The NBA favorites are just crushing us. We could use a good Super Bowl. And I know that the people that listen to this show always feel bad for me when we don't do well. Just like the people on Twitter, they always have a lot of sympathy for me when we don't do well.
Sure.
And I appreciate that. It makes me feel a lot better.
All right, buddy. Great stuff as always. Good season, and congratulations on the Bonanza victory, unless we get 24-20 or 24-19.
And I should tell you, too, my guy, the Prince of Props, I know there's like 50 people now that are called the Prince of Props, but the original one, he is on the road right now for work, but he is going to do a deep dive this weekend, and I will be tweeting some stuff this weekend for him on the Super Bowl. This is his stage. He's excited. I'm excited. I can't wait for Sunday. I love Super Bowl Sunday. It's one of my favorite days in the book. I can't wait, man. It's going to be awesome.
Good stuff. All right, friend. Have a good one, buddy. Thank you.
Take care. You got it.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. Thanks to everyone for a wonderful season and all your loyal listenership and downloading, rating, reviewing, everything like that. It's a lot of fun for us, and I know you guys put in the time just like we do, and you know, your devotion and your loyalty, like I said, is really appreciated. Best of luck to everyone betting the Super Bowl. Enjoy your squares as well as your prop plays and their action on the game. It is the Christmas time here for football bettors, or any gamblers, I should say, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy the game, and best of luck to everyone.